We're trying to wrap our heads around what happened last night. It's hard. It's hard not for it not to feel like a real gut punch. It's a team below you in the standings, and when we were looking at the final 8, 10, 12, 15 games, these were the games that you were going to get. You just felt like, okay, that's the teams below you in standing. You have better, you have more of those than the other teams, but now the single point against Columbus and a single point last night, now you got Nashville and Minnesota. It's hard not to see it, feel like it's kind of slipping through their fingers. How do you feel?
Yeah, no, not that way at all, actually, because, I look at Dallas and certainly the way Dallas has been playing and look at their personnel, and I think that team has as good a team as Calgary. You know, when they weren't getting very good goaltending from Carey Lutton in the early part of the season, and I think that was the single biggest thing that separated Dallas from Calgary this year, that Calgary has had a bunch of different guys, give them very solid goaltending, and now Dallas is starting to get a bit more solid goaltending, and that puts them in the same conversation as the Flames in terms of ability. Probably they have better personnel, because there really isn't anybody that's quite like Tyler Seguin, I would suggest, on Calgary, despite how well Monahan and Seguin and Hudler and Gaudreau are playing. So the other thing that the Flames have proven to me is that they are capable of winning games when you think, I don't really think they've got a shot there. So, I mean, to me, it has always come down to, you have to be within 2 points of Los Angeles before game 81. And if you are within 2 points of Los Angeles before game 81, then you've got a shot. So that's what you're playing for. And so, you look past, you forget this one, and you look at this road trip, and if you go 3-2 on this road trip, you're going to be in it in the final week, and I'd suggest that's the best that they could hope for right now, and I think that might be good enough. I mean, we could have a completely different conversation if the Islanders happen to beat the Kings right now. I mean, if the Kings run the table, then you're going to have problems. Then you're going to be looking at Winnipeg and say, come back to me, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And that could happen too. So, yeah, you're not going to win them all, and you're certainly not going to, they're a good team. And I think Columbus is a good team. Columbus came in, I had a long talk with John Davidson yesterday, and, their year was ruined by injuries, and now that they've got their people back, they're a good team. Columbus, having not having 8 to 10 guys out for a big chunk of the first half is probably in the playoff race in the East with all the other teams. So, I mean, that's parity. There's very little to separate the teams in the National Hockey League this year, very little. And so, to think, to Dallas, that's in the bag because they're behind us. No, I just don't see it that way.
But they got to win, and I guess my thing is, yep, whether you're playing good teams, bad teams, or not, I don't know that they've gone out, and it's the homestand, blah, 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 but they haven't gone out and just kind of taken control of things. They can put themselves in the playoffs, but they've got to play themselves there, and they haven't dictated that over the last week, 10 days.
Yeah, but how often have they dictated that? When you think about it, because what you're talking about is you go out from the start and away you go. I mean, that has not been a characteristic of this hockey team this year. The characteristic of the hockey team has been, fall behind and then find a way of pulling that rabbit out of the hat late. And they've done it remarkably well, and that's why they are in a position where they could potentially still make the playoffs. So, you're probably asking them to do something that I don't know if they're necessarily capable of doing. How many teams are good enough to get out there and just flex their hockey playing muscles? And LA has done that the last two games. I mean, watch them against New Jersey, watch them against the Rangers. They went out and you've 10 minutes of it, and you think, okay, the Kings are winning this game. Does Calgary have the personnel to do that? I don't think they do. I think that, they've played very well this year, but I think they've played up to their capability, and they're getting the max, nobody ever, I guess, gets the max out of everybody all the time. But I think they're getting close to what they can out of the group that they have. And so, to ask them to do something, I don't know. You know, like, you see, can they do that against Minnesota? Can they do it against Nashville? I don't know. I think they're, you know, you got to scrap and fight and stay close and hang in there and, you know, and hope you get, you know, two. And if you can't get two, maybe you get one and then see where you're at going into the final week.
Where do you sit right now on the goaltending with, I mean, we're now less than 10 with so much riding on it. Who do you feel like gives you the best chance? We've seen Ramo for a few in a row here now. Whenever they've switched, it's gone seemingly well, even in a short amount of time. And I'm not saying that alone should have you put Hiller in. But I had a discussion yesterday. I went to Morning Skate, had a chance to see you there.
I saw you there, the real-life you. I actually wasn't sure if you existed anymore. I thought maybe
we saw face-to-face.
Bottled your voice, and you just...
I talked to you.
A conversation about goaltending?
Yeah, well, no, I was talking with somebody there who I have a great deal of respect for.
Uh-huh.
And he felt like, because I asked him the same thing, who gives this team the best chance right now? And he felt it was Ramo.
Yeah.
Felt like even though Hiller is solid, he is more prone to the tough goal at the tough time, and Ramo is more consistent in that way. Thus, you go with Ramo. Do you see it similarly?
Yeah, well, I think Ramo is more capable of stealing a win. You know, I think that Hiller might be, you know, more consistent over the long term. But if you need a guy to throw a no-hitter, you know, the hockey equivalent of that, I think Ramo is more capable of doing that. Just, you know, just the way they play, you know, like Hiller is just a little bit smoother in the net. You know, Ramo is a little bit more exciting, I guess, for lack of a better term. So I think it's a tough call. You know, I think it is a tough call just for the reason that you cited in your question, which is that when they have switched, you know, they've often gotten a boost from the switch. You know, you've gotten a motivated guy going back in and playing extremely well. So I think that this is, most of the time, it's been a pretty easy call, because when they've switched goaltenders, it's been because there's been a little bit of a stumble and you're looking for a lift. And so if they stick to that pattern, then this is then you know, it would suggest that they do make that switch right now. I think that that's something they're going to have to think about, because, you know, it's not as if Ramo has cost them these games. He's been pretty good. You know, he's been pretty good. And so I don't know. I don't know what you do. I guess if it's me, I might stick with Ramo, because I like the way he's played, and I think that he gives you the best chance right now.
Take it out to the east. Lundqvist is close to coming back. Talbot has been lights out for the Rangers. Is there any chance that that creates a little bit of a wrinkle for the Rangers?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a very good question. You know, I was having that conversation with somebody the other day, and, you know, we're talking about, you know, okay, who's got the best team? Who's going to win? You know, like, let's sit back for 5 seconds and say, you know, Stanley Cup final is between, you know, and it was sort of like, and the answer, again, somebody that I respect, Rangers and St. Louis. And I said, okay. But then the qualifier was, now the only thing about New York is, you know, like, Lundqvist comes back, and what happens next, right? You know, if he comes in and he isn't as sharp, and you know, they feel they have to give him a bunch of games to get his game on, game face on, and then you go into the playoffs, and all of a sudden he's not quite the player that he was. What do you do then? You know, fans at Madison Square Garden can be tough. They could start calling for Talbot. I thought Talbot the other day against Los Angeles looked like a guy looking over his shoulder a bit. You know, I've seen Rangers a fair bit during this stretch. And up until then, Talbot looked like a guy who was just playing. You know, a big guy, you know, very, didn't know anything about him as a goaltender, but was impressed with what I saw. And then suddenly, you know, with Lundqvist kind of breathing down his neck, just sort of hovering over there, didn't look quite as comfortable. And it made me think that, you know, that he's aware that his time in the net is probably coming to an end too, and maybe was pressing a little bit and wanted to prove something. And, you know, like, at the point where, you know, like, he's got to really compete for his job. Didn't have to compete for the job while, you know, when it was clear that Lundqvist wasn't coming back anytime soon. It was going to be his. So, you know, psychologically, you know, he's just ready to play, right? And then now, all of a sudden, you know, the king is, you know, hovering there, and his game wasn't quite as sharp. So, yes, I think the Rangers have an excellent team, and I think that one of the few things that could derail them is that if they have a goalie controversy, you know, coming down to the wire here. That is the kind of thing that you know, that can upset a dressing room and affect performance. Because if all of a sudden you start to get a little bit of leakage where you haven't had that, you know, that changes everything.
I'll bring it back to the Flames, bouncing around a little bit. Well, it just popped in my head. The defense has stepped up without Mark Giordano and all that. But he's going on the trip. How much of a role can he play, in your opinion, just being there, like, as a presence?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. I did see him at the Dome yesterday, and was happy to see that, you know, that he's around, because I think that, you know, he is the captain of this team. But I think it's a, you know, a fairly small role. You know, I think that they, you know, that, you know, I mean, you're better off, you know, answering this question than I am. You know, my experience has always been that injured players, no matter who they are, you know, because they can't contribute on the ice, are reluctant to step up in other ways, because, you know, they feel that, you know, that there's not much that they can do to back up their words. So I think he's going to be supportive, you know, I guess in a position to, you know, rally the troops if that thing is needed. But ultimately, you know, I don't know. You know, like, you tell me. I mean, you know, if a good guy is out of the lineup, you know, and he's not a player, do you want him around? Do you need him around? Like, what happens in there? I've never had the sense that very many guys can make that much of a difference, no matter who they are.
No, and we talked about it earlier, and I said the same thing. I said, yeah, you can go and be a pom-pom, rah-rah kind of guy, but to go in and really make a statement, and it's hard, because you can't go out on the ice and back it up, and you're right. Guys are hesitant to do it. So
he's an honest guy. That's the one thing about Giordano, an honest guy, and understands how a dynamic works. You know, that doesn't take it personally. That's the nature of the business. You know, that's the nature of the business. You know, we need to put 18 position players on the ice that can win the game tonight, and unfortunately, because of this injury, he's not one of those guys that they can put out there. And so, you know, I think it's good that they've got him there. I think at this time of year, you know, I think when St. Louis was through here, you know, they're traveling with Marty Brodeur and Al MacInnis and, you know, like, you know, basically half the Hall of Fame class for the last 10 years. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to have experienced people around, you know, to bounce ideas off of. But ultimately, you know, the guys that are playing are the ones that have to get the job done.
60 seconds. We will talk to you on Tuesday. Will the Ottawa Senators still be in a playoff spot come Tuesday?
Well, yes, I guess. You know, it's hard to say. You keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. I mean, you know, it's a wonderful story. It's a good story because of the goaltender. It's a good story because they've, you know, like Gaudreau here, you know, what they've seen of Hoffman and Stone, I think, creates some hope for the future. But all things eventually come to an end. And so I just think that, you know, at some point, you know, that could happen. And all that has to happen is you go on a real quick three-game losing streak, you know, and Boston wins a couple, and suddenly, you know, the team switch place again, and you know, and Boston says, "Oof, that was a close call," and away they go. So, you know, so I don't know, but I guess I'm you know, the there is a part of me that likes storytelling. That's what we do. And the Ottawa story is so captivating right now. And I like the fact that, you know, that all of a sudden there's all these Canadian teams that have a chance to make the playoffs, right? I mean, at the start of the year, you know, all of the panels, all of the experts, you know, one Canadian team, one Canadian team, one Canadian team. Me, you know, one Canadian team. All of the, you know, so-called, you know, the people that have to do this. And now it could be five, you know, and I'd like to see five. I'm not sure how five, you know, I guess it'll have to be Los Angeles that gets bumped if it's five, but that would be good. If five Canadian teams out of 16 make it this year, that is a terrific story to write, fun to write, fun to consider all of the implications of it. And for that to happen, Ottawa has to make it. So yes, I'm cheering for the story, which is allowed in our business.
It is allowed.
It is allowed.
Have a great weekend, Eric.
All right, talk then.